Welcome to church this morning. Go ahead and grab your seats, and we're going to get started with the sermon. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for our Iraq team. So we have three teams going to Iraq. The first team's on the ground. They had a crazy journey there because you probably heard about the referendum maybe on the news. And so they had to fly into Turkey as was planned, and then they had to find a new way on land into Iraq. But they're there safely, and the ministry has started. And so we're just going to pray for them, and we're going to pray for Team 2 and Team 3 that are going to be leaving soon. And just please remember to keep our Iraq teams in your prayers. God's opened up this door for us, and it's a crazy opportunity. God's doing great things amongst the Yazidi people. So let's join our hearts together and pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together. We pray that you would speak to us and minister to us this morning in your encouragement and your strength. We lift up to you the Iraq team that's there on the ground right now. We pray for their physical safety, also their spiritual safety, and we pray that your kingdom would advance powerfully amongst the Yazidi people. In fact, we pray for revival amongst them. And we pray that you would raise up indigenous churches that speak Kurmanji and would evangelize to that area in crazy form. And so we just pray your maximum will be done. The kingdom of God come in maximum form in northern Iraq for the glory of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of welcomes this morning. I see Joshua Pertinga here. His baby Evelyn was just born a couple days ago. And so congratulations to you guys. Yeah, you could applaud for them and pray for Irina and baby Evelyn. Some of Glenn's teams here for the first time. So I want to welcome especially Sam Kim. Sam Kim's an Air Force chaplain, and he goes to Fuller, and he's part of the Asian American Fellowship. Actually, he leads the Asian American Fellowship at Fuller. And so we welcome Sam. So Sam, can you just stand up? Sam Kim, we welcome him. And I see Brad here. Brad's, I actually meet with Brad tonight, and Brad's family's here. So we welcome his son, James, and Lily, his daughter, and his wife, Jane. So can you guys just stand? We welcome you guys. We're glad you guys are here. All right, so the title of today's sermon is Open Our Eyes to See God's Army. Can you turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 23? 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 23. And I do think it'd be helpful if you had it open in your Bibles in front of you, although that passage will be on the screen, but for you to see it in context. And I'm going to start off with this. Has it ever happened to you where something happened right in front of your eyes, but you missed what was happening? Maybe you weren't paying attention, or maybe it happened too quick, but something happened right in front of your eyes, but you missed what was happening. I want to show you about a minute and a half video clip, and for something that's going to literally happen in front of your eyes. And I have a feeling that at least some of you, maybe a lot of you, are going to actually miss some things that happened. All right, some of you have probably seen this video clip before, some of you haven't. I almost guaranteed, even if you have seen this video before, there will be some things that you miss. All right, so here's a little test for you. Let's see how you do. All right, let's show this minute and a half clip.
Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball. The correct answer is 16 passes. Did you spot the gorilla? For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half missed the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it. But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game? Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold. When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events.
All right, so let's be honest. How many of you guys missed the gorilla? Can you just raise your hand? How many of you missed the curtain changing color? How many of you missed the player leaving the game? And be honest, how many of you missed all three of those? All right, a lot of you guys. So, you know, we're gonna see in this passage of scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6, that something happens right before Elisha's servant's eyes. But he missed what was happening. And Elisha and God tried to tune him in to what was happening, kind of just like this video. All right, so turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 23. Now, this is a longer passage. This is 16 verses. So I thought we'd read it interactively. So I'm going to have Job come up and Pastor Evangeline come up. And so we're going to read it with the first slide, the men. Can you read it out loud as Job leads you? And then women, read the second slide. Pastor Evangeline will lead you on that slide. And we'll just alternate that way, okay? So first slide, men, read it with Job. And then second with Pastor Evangeline, and then we'll get through the passage that way. Okay, so are you guys ready? So men, you'll start out with Job.
Okay, you guys ready? All right. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places.
All right, woman, are you ready? Ready. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom."
Okay. "Go, find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked.
"Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Okay. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. And Elisha told them, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria.
After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?"
"What do the men say?" No, I'm just kidding. "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those who have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory.
Okay, thank you, guys. Elisha was experiencing phenomenal ministry. He was the prophet of Israel. And if you read the preceding chapters, or even earlier in the chapter, or even earlier in this passage, he was experiencing miracles, tremendous outpouring of God's anointing upon him to do crazy things for the kingdom of God. We see earlier in this passage that the Aramean army was hiding and trying to ambush the Israelites. But as they were doing it, Elisha's prophetic anointing was so strong that he knew exactly where they were, so he would tell the king of Israel where they were and they would be able to avoid him. And so obviously, this upset the king of Aram. And so the king of Aram responds to this whole situation in verse 13 through 15. Can we read that out loud together? This is the king of Aram speaking And after this situation that was upsetting to him and to his men, and he says this. Let's read it out loud together one more time. "Go, find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. So the situation is, he's obviously extremely upset, and so he gets all of his forces. He finds out where Elisha and his servant are at, and the city of Dothan, and he surrounds them with his army. This was startling, I think you can imagine, for Elisha's servant, especially because things had been going so well. They had been experiencing an outpouring of God chapter after chapter leading up to this, chapter 4, 5, earlier in chapter 6, earlier in the passage that we read, tremendous miracles. They were experiencing the anointing of God. How could it be now, Elisha's servant was wondering, how could it be that now they find themselves surrounded by the enemy army? Can I give a little illustration here just to kind of maybe bring some insight to this passage? So we have some people in here that are on a church softball team that is in the championship game tomorrow, all right? And, okay, yeah, we can clap for that. Yeah, I'll be there, by the way, to cheer you guys on. All right, so I guarantee you that the other team, and if I could call them the enemy, but they're the opponent. They might be another church, but we'll just call them the enemy. They are going to try harder tomorrow. They're going to run harder, throw harder, hit harder. Why? Because they're up against the number one team. They're not going to need to do that if they play in the last place team. They're not going to need to do that if they play the middle team. But when they play the championship game and they're facing our team, the best team, they're going to have to play a little bit harder. We all understand that. We all understand. We expect that. But I sometimes think that, do we have that same awareness when it comes to the spiritual battle that we're in? You know, when we start doing things like go to Iraq, when we do things like join forces with another church, start a school of ministry, when we start doing things like light up Walnut and invite the whole community here, we'll have hundreds of people here as a Halloween alternative, we just turn it up a notch for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of darkness, Satan's going to turn it up a notch too. We need to be aware. We don't need to be scared or afraid, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Actually, this passage gets to that. We don't need to be afraid, but we need to be aware that when we set out to do kingdom work, when we set out to worship Jesus, when we set out to come to church, to worship God, to lead others into salvation, when we knock down those walls that we just did and we expand the sanctuary so that we can fit more people to worship Jesus, the enemy is not happy with that. And we need to be aware that he might turn it up a notch on us. And I preached this message this morning because some of you guys have been talking to me about some things and some warfare and some discouraging things. Listen, we need to be aware that the enemy will attack. Again, we don't need to be afraid, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but we need to be aware that the enemy is out to hunt us down, to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to be aware that he is up to this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says this. Now, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church. This is God's word to our church, I believe, in this season. Can we read this out loud together? This is God's word to us. Let's read it. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Listen, Paul was telling them, listen, the things that are in front of you, the things that are tough that are in front of you, is not the toughest challenge of all. He said, you're up against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He said, be aware. Be aware. Especially as you set out to expand the kingdom of God, to live for Jesus, to proclaim Jesus, to preach Jesus, that the enemy is going to try to turn it up a notch. Just like the opponent in the championship game tomorrow is going to turn it up a notch. We understand that. We expect that. Our team expects that. Our team is going to play harder too. Listen, in the kingdom of God, as we set out to do the things that God has called us to do, especially in this season, we need to be aware that the enemy is around, lurking about, wanted to take us down. We need to be aware of it, not afraid of it, but we need to be aware of what the enemy is about. So now, you might have the same response as Elisha's servant. So he sees the enemy's army encamped around, and he says this, "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" So we could be aware of the enemy, and you're like, yeah, I see the enemy attacking me. I see I'm sending out to serve Jesus. I see the crazy things that our church is called to in this season. And we might have the same response, oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do? So verse 16 and 17, Elisha, God in his word, tells us exactly what to do. Let's read it out loud together. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Do not be afraid. We need to be aware, but God says, do not be afraid. And similar to what was happening in that video, that opening video, Elisha said, listen, I need to clue you in. I need to open up your eyes. You were not aware of what is happening, but I need to open up your eyes so you see the hills. It's full of God's army. It's not just a larger army. It's a more powerful army. It's not just a more powerful army. This passage says that they were fired up. It was chariots of fire. This is an army that was fired up in the hills, God's army, ready to come and unleash his power against the enemy's army. Let me show you a picture of Dothan. This was a city that they're in, right? It said that the army of the Aramaeans was surrounding the city. Right, you see that they could have been surrounding the city. But Elisha said to his servant, listen, open up your eyes because I want to show you the hills. You see the hills there? He said it's filled with God's army that's more powerful, that's more numerous, and that's fired up with the power of God to unleash and in a more advanced position in the hills to come and unleash against the ones that were in the valley. That's God's army. That's the army that's fighting for us. And God wants to remind us, listen, be aware. If you're setting out to do kingdom work, or as we're setting out to do kingdom work, the enemy will ratchet it up a notch. But we cannot keep our focus on the enemy. We need to be aware that he's there, but we cannot be afraid, and our eyes need to be lifted up to the hills, just like Psalm 121 talks about, right? It says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. That's the psalmist speaking. And listen, that word was good, as good thousands and thousands of years ago as it is today in the situations that we face. In the ways that the enemy wants to ratchet up on us, the same words to us. I lift my eyes up to the mountains, to the hills, where the horses and the chariots of fire of the army of the Lord are fired up and ready to unleash against the enemy's forces. That's where my focus is. That's where I'm looking up to. And I'm looking up to God. I'm looking up to Jesus, the commander of the angel armies. I'm looking up to Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the angel armies, to know that if that's where my focus is, that's where the strength comes from, that's where the faith comes from. And this is God's word to us in this season. The things that maybe personally in your life that you are facing, certainly us as a community of God and a family of believers that has a great calling on our lives in this season. Not to mention all of the various things that God's called us to, but the things that God has called us to, we need to keep our eyes focused on God, aware of the enemy, aware that he might ratchet up a notch, but our eyes focused on God. But there is another step. There was another step here that God had. Verse 18. Can we read this out loud together? As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness. And Elisha is asked. Elisha was saying to his servant, be aware, let's face reality. The Aramaean army is surrounding us. But I'm telling you, open up your eyes. Look up to the hills. See the Lord. See the Lord's army more powerful. And we're going to pray for the blinders that get put upon the enemy. And the rest of this passage talks about how they prayed for blindness upon the enemy. And then they led the enemy. They led the whole army all the way to the city of God, all the way to Samaria to be their prisoners of war. That's what happened. That's the power of God. That's God's army that fights on our behalf. Now you might say, is it as easy as that? That we just gather together today and we'll just pray for blindness upon the enemy. And I think it's important to note the progression in this passage. Elisha's servant started out actually with the blinders on him. Some of us this morning, I feel like the blinders are put on us. He was not able to see at first, the hills, and the vast army of God, the horses and chariots of fire, ready to come down and fire it up to descend upon the valley and defeat the army of the Aramaeans. He wasn't able to see. And God had to tell him through Elisha, and God and Elisha prayed for him to open up his eyes that the blinders would be removed. And I feel like that's a good word for some of us this morning. To note that the progression was, listen, where is our focus? Are our eyes open to the hills, to the vast army of God? Because I just want to say, I think some of us this morning are too focused on the enemy. And we give the enemy too much credit. We need to be aware of the enemy. We need to even be aware that the enemy ratchets it up on us as we desire to seek him, as we desire to advance his kingdom. But we need to make sure that our blinders are off. And I have that strong call for some of us this morning, especially some of us this morning who are set out to evangelize, who are set out to merge with the vision of our church, who are set out to advance the kingdom of God, who are set out to raise our families in a godly way. Where the enemy begins to ratchet up, listen, we need to pray. Lord, take the blinders off. I just pray it right now in Jesus' name. Take the blinders off our eyes. Lift our eyes up to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from God. I declare this for our church in Jesus' name, that our eyes are focused on the Lord and on the Lord's army that's more powerful, that's more numerous, that's fired up to descend upon the enemy's armies. And only then, when the blinders were off Elisha's servant, that he began to pray blindness upon the Aramaean army. My understanding of this blindness that was on them was not a physical blindness. Because the whole army, it says it was blinded, then they led the whole army into the city of Samaria and held them as prisoners of war. I just have a feeling, I just doubt that there was a physical blindness and the army just let them, just lead them. But I think it was a confusion on the enemy. It was like a mental, spiritual blindness that came over them that was just supernatural, such that they would allow them to lead them in the city of God and take them as prisoners of war. And I feel that we need to pray. We need to lift up our eyes to God and to his mighty army, to his might, to his power. And then we need to pray confusion upon the enemy, a bedazzlement upon the enemy, a blindness that could be physical, but also just a spiritual blindness upon the enemy, that we would begin to advance as God has called us to. I know I'm speaking to some people here this morning, because recently, as God's been expanding things, I've had just multiple conversations with some of you feeling like that the enemy's just attacking and discouragement happens and different things happen. And we got to expect that. Let's expose the enemy right now. We expect the enemy to ratchet up on a championship team. And I don't say that because we're better, but because we're on God's team. We're the championship team. We got to expect that, and we expose that right now, that the enemy wants to do that. But we will not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Lift up our eyes. Let's pray that the blinders get removed of us. We lift up our eyes to the hills, to God and his angel armies. And we begin to find victory in that. And I just speak to you this morning. In the midst, I know some of us make decisions to serve God. And then different things happen. Like even this conversation happens all the time. People set out to serve God on a Sunday morning. They're driving to church and get into a huge argument with their family on the way to church, with their spouse, etc. And it's like, we need to be cautious. We need to be aware that the enemy's lurking and wants to completely ambush us on the way to church when we want to serve God. We need to keep our eyes upon God and upon his armies, that we find our help, our victory in Jesus. Can we pray together? Can we just bow our heads and pray? And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And prayer team, if you could come up and be ready to pray too. There was something specific that I felt like that the Lord wanted to just bring breakthrough to. I feel like the enemy is planting some bad dreams and nightmares upon us. By the way, that's never from God. If you ever have a disturbing dream, but it's from the Lord, there'll be encouragement in it. there'll be peace in it, there'll be next steps to it, there'll be conviction to it. But if it's just bad dreams and nightmares that just torment your sleep, that's not God's best for us. Just all eyes closed and heads bowed. Are there any here that you've been experiencing bad dreams, nightmares? Could you just put your hand all the way up and then down? I just want to pray for you. So all the way up and then down. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We lift up our eyes to you. You are the mighty one. We just pray that you would end these bad dreams in the name of Jesus right now. Clear up these dreams and bring your sweet dreams. You grant sleep to those you love. And so we just pray sweet dreams upon our church as we desire to advance your kingdom. In just a moment, we're going to sing a familiar song to many of you. We will not be shaken. Father, I just want to declare over our church, we will not be shaken. Let the things that need to be shaken be shaken, but we as your people of God will not be shaken. I declare that in the name of Jesus. And we will not be afraid. Though the armies rise up against us on all sides, we will not be shaken. Let those words resound across our church in Jesus' name and across those things that you call us to, personally and corporately, in Jesus' name. Be released to your destiny. Be released to your potential. So, Father, we lift up our eyes to you, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the angel armies. We just lift our eyes to you. We just worship you. We worship you as we close out this service, and we declare that our victory is in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and worship the Lord with this song. Some of us, this needs to be a declaration in your hearts, and there certainly needs to be a declaration in our church that we will not be shaken. In Jesus' name.